I've mentioned that the inspiration for our panel discussion today came from memories of our founding 24 years ago. And we had visioning for a couple of months before we started in May. And the picture of the Olympic rings bringing us all together was Kate's inspiration for the group. And during those sessions, we talked about how we wanted our meetings to be more like classes than services, and because we wanted every voice to be heard, that all were welcome to speak in our discussions and our intention setting, and that we wanted to learn from each other. And Duke Height, who was one of our prayer partners in ministry of prayer for me for, oh, close to 30 years, but for this group for probably 19 or so. He said when we started this group, you didn't start a study group, you started a master's program. And we have been so lucky to look around and see ministers and practitioners and doctors of various, we've got a couple with us today, Dr. Carolyn and Dr. Sherry. It's just a gift to attract people who are endlessly learning and growing and sharing the wonders of the universe with us. And two of the bright lights for me in our discussions have been Felissa and Felicia. And Felissa had said that she sees herself as a speaker, and she does speak at meetings regularly in other groups she belongs to. And Felicia grew up with a dad who sounds like he was incredibly enlightened and brilliant, and she has always brought a bright light to this group. And so I am thrilled that today our speakers are Felicia Hanna and Felissa Leisure. And I am also delighted to welcome Reverend Hillary here today, who just joined us. And so we're going to start out with a Felicia talking to us. And if you're not muted yet, please make sure you mute.
Okay, thank you for the invitation to speak. The chapter today from the book How to Change Your Life by Ernest Holmes is called Indestructible and Absolute. And it is only three paragraphs long. So he really sums it up quite concisely. And I thought, well, there's two of us talking on these three paragraphs. But there's a lot of room for expansion. So, I mean, while I could just read the entire three paragraphs to you, I will leave that for Olivia in case she wants to. Because the very first thought I had when I heard this was the chapter, before I even read the chapter, I thought of a poem called The Absolute, which was written by Manly Palmer Hall and is in this book called The Spaceborn, which my father gave me when I was a teenager. And this is Manly Palmer Hall. It was published in 1930. So if New Thought's been around for a long time. And I would like to read for you. Someone's unmuted if you want to mute. I would like to read two poems from The Spaceborn. The Absolute is the first one, and I'm just going to continue right on without stopping into the second poem of the book called The Lord Maitreya Speaks. Forgive me for not knowing exactly how to say that. I've never heard it spoken aloud. But this will be an opportunity to just sit back and close your eyes and just listen and see where these thoughts take you. I feel like it's just a expansiveness of what Ernest said in this chapter. Absolute. I am the absolute. I am birthless, deathless, eternal. The baseless base of all beginning. The sure foundation, unmeasured. The causeless cause of causation. The living root of illusion. All these am I and other things unmentioned. The sum total of reality expressed in naught. Unmoved, unquestioned, undefined, I am omnipotent. Veiled by the robes of empty space, I dream. The troubled nightmare of creation's plan to wake and find creation's plan dissolved again in me. Worlds are my dreams, the endless march of suns. Live while I sleep and die. With my awakening, for the life is death, and death is life in me. Creation I permit, yet am not of it or deceived thereby. Life and death I sanction, they are both in me. They come and go, yet steadfast I remain, unmoved by these. Wrapped in my seething robes of mystery, jewel-spangled by 100 million suns. Lifeless, deathless, beingless, I remain permanent, unmoved. From me you came, O myriad sparks unnumbered. From my dark wheels I hurled you into being. I gave you selves and robbed you of myself, the selfless all. Into my embrace, I bid you come once more, fulfilling the law which bids the wheels of being to launch you home again, your labors done. Of me you know little, and yet I am the sum of all that has been, is, or yet to come. The plan, the planner, and the planned for, all in one. And that one, nameless, beingless, hypothetical, and yet a solid emptiness that none can crush or bend or break or far less can destroy. For even destruction cannot shatter that power which is destruction's base. No thing by God or man devised can injure me, for when all else is fallen, shattered, broken, I remain. Would you storm my mystery and seek to find that which is behind my veil? Oblivion. Then senseless, beingless, creationless thou must become. Not being is my name. By no other will I be known. Limitless, I know no limitation, save those passing forms which dwell within the aura of my majesty, while I permit. I am the absolute, I the one before the beginning. By those who I discover, am I known, my secrets fathomed. The word unspoken is my name. I am the all-pervading. For all life's hours of dark, I am the dawn. To all the shadowed nights, I am the morn. Of all the paths that wind, I am the end. Through all life's hopeless fight, I am the friend. Who answers every prayer? I am the one. Of all the heavenly light, I am the sun. Of all these circling things, I am the cause. Of all this wondrous plan, I am the law. For all who seek to know, I am the way. To those by darkness bound, I am the day. For all who struggle on, I am the goal. Of all this seething all, I am the soul.
Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you. Thank you, Manly Palmer Hall. Thank you to my father for being amazing and giving this to me when I was a teenager. Yeah. So that is a feeling of expansiveness of what Ernest was talking about in this chapter. And there's a couple lines in here that jump out to me. I gave you selves and robbed you of myself, the selfless all. In our individualization, as we move from the finite towards the infinite, we get these amazing experiences of individuality, and we get to experience the third dimension. And we have an idea of separateness, but that spark of light, the Brahman, is in everything and everyone. And the way my father explained it to me was that God was the thinker of the first thought. And when God realized itself, it became separate from that which it was dreaming, and the matter world was created. That God's consciousness is the light projecting the images upon the screen, the image of the movie. And we are in dimension, light being projected into us through us. As individual, more finite beings, that if in our dream state or in our meditative state, we can take our consciousness and turn it around to see the light that is projecting into us, that that is a path towards seeing God. And that is also the symbolism in some of the Christian churches of the priesthood wearing their collar backwards. The symbolism of that is a turned seat of consciousness that is watching God. That is the goal, to see God. But we get to experience all the joys and wonders and ups and downs that make all the beautiful colors of this world. And we get to experience the absolute in finite ways. And the moments where we have expansion and connection and remembering of who we really are and where we really come from and the miracle that that is all that is. Well, I don't have to tell you how that feels. That's what we're here to celebrate and remember. So that's what I wanted to share today, and we'll let Alyssa have her point of view on these few little paragraphs that Ernest shared with us. And thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, Felicia. Oh, wow. I want that poem, those poems. Those are incredible. And what a dad. I don't know if he's with us or heaven in heaven, but I am so grateful. Okay. I'm so grateful that he shared that with you. What an incredible person you are. What a blessing. What a great idea to share. My cat's coming on my lap. Whenever he hears me on the computer, he's getting ready to come up here. What a great idea to share the three paragraphs. If you don't mind me sharing those, and I'll read them. I'll be brief. It's three, but indestructible and absolute. And it has a subheading of "We believe in God, the living spirit, almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause." And in science of mind, self-existent is defined as living by virtue of its own being. An absolute and self-existent cause then means principle, that power, and that presence which makes everything out of itself, which contains and sustains everything within itself. God is absolute and self-existent cause. Therefore, the divine spirit contains within itself infinite imagination, complete volition, and absolute power. We are to think of God not as some power, but as all power. Not as some presence, but as the only presence. Not merely as a God, but as the God. Spirit is the supreme and the only causation. Emerson said, "There is at the surface infinite variety of things. At the center, there is simplicity of cause. We are escorted on every hand through life by spiritual agents, and a beneficent purpose lies in wait for us." Emerson believed that we are all sleeping giants. Sleep lingers all of our lifetime about our eyes as night hovers all day in the boughs of a fir tree. Into every intelligence there is a door which never closed, through which the Creator passes. Now, I contacted Connie because I know that this was written in a different era, and it takes a little absorbing to get through. But I read it and reread it and reread it, and I love that. Emerson is brought in and helps to translate, in a way, what is being said. And Felicia, you helped me to realize that although my mother wasn't of the New Thought era specifically, I was raised Black Baptist, which is different than Baptist. I'll just explain a little bit. Our music was different, and Black Baptist had a different feel to it. And so, but my mother always went a little outside of that and helped me to realize some basic truths. And she kind of paid a price for that, because she had the nerve to think outside the box. And I love that about her. And many times we would sit, we meaning my brother and I, would sit on her king-size bed, my father's and my mother's king-size bed. We would sit at her feet and listen to what she had to say. And it was wonderful. She taught us so many things about life and about love and about God that weren't taught at church. And I often credit Connie to being the first time I heard some of these principles. But the truth is, I heard them from my mother, and I think many times there are manifestations of these basic truths and principles coming back into my life, and so I remember an infomercial. They don't do infomercials as much anymore. They do master classes on the internet. I think things are changing a little bit. But I remember an infomercial that Tony Robbins did in the 1980s. And there was something called personal power. And that was another manifestation of some of these thoughts coming back into play in my life. There were cassette tapes that I begged my mom for. And in these tapes, in this infomercial, Tony Robbins was talking about you want to become your authentic self. You want to give the best of who you are to the world, and you owe that to yourself as well. So I begged my mom for these tapes. I was a teenager. And I said to her, I know I'm destined for more than what I'm living, and just help me to get there, wherever there is, wherever that destination is. And I listened to those tapes religiously, whatever that means. And I listened and listened and listened. And I realized this was one of the first manifestations I had, one of the first tastes that I had of a life beyond what I was living, a life beyond what I learned in Black Baptist Church. And in realizing that God gave me something, a spark in my life to help me become, who he meant me to be, started to pay attention to what he was telling me in my dreams and my thoughts and the little inspirations that you get. And I realized that I had a communication with him that was unlike anything I'd ever really learned before. And then fast forward several years later, I was working and I met Connie, and she reawakened some of these thoughts that Tony Robbins had introduced me to. And I loved it. I have this great memory of going outside where we worked. I think it was a place called BRS. And I could be wrong, but I think that's where it was. And going outside and coming to the back of her car, and she gave me some Abraham tapes. And I was like, oh, this is good stuff. The first time I listened to it, I was like, this is good. I need more. I need more of this. And then she introduced me to Science of Mind. And I was just blown away. And I had the foundations class with Reverend Hillary. Like, this is good stuff. I'm starting to become who I was meant to be. And this is my pathway. These are my pathways. So one of the takeaways that I got from what I read, for it was page 131 to 132, and then 137 to 8, just those three paragraphs, was power, presence, and principle, and that God is at cause. And that ran as a theme throughout all of what Tony Robbins said, what Connie said, what Abraham said, what my mother even said as a child, that this is who God is. What a revelation to me. What a revelation. There's more than what I was taught as a child. And that inspired me and angered me at the same time because I felt kind of short changed, but that's okay. It came when I could learn it. When the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And apparently, I had several manifestations of that. And one of the things that Ernest Holmes said was that there's, oh, I won't read it, but there's a oneness to God. That God is one. All of this good that I see, and all of the other things I deem is not so good that I see, there's a oneness to it. And what that helped me to do was to realize, was to comfort myself, particularly when my parents passed away. My father passed away 32 years ago. And my mother passed away in 2020, and I felt so alone. And I got to be honest, there are times, there are moments where I think, oh, I want to tell my mom. Oh, that's right, she's not here. And I'm sure those of you who are missing, not missing, but our parents are no longer here with us to hug, have moments like that too. There's things that you want to tell them, but you know, realize that you can't. Not on the phone anyway. Or in person. But that oneness is available to us. It's real, and we can connect with them at any time. There are times when I lost my way, when I wanted so much to be relieved of those sad feelings or those quote unquote bad feelings. And there was a time where I remembered some of the things I'd learned through Tony Robbins and through Connie and through Abraham Hicks and all those wonderful things. I wanted that back. And I thought, I'll get that. I'll get that feeling back. And I'll go through drugs and alcohol. That's the quickest way to get that back. No. That was flirting with the devil. And I learned that the hard way. But the good always finds a way to come back. Everything is always working out for me. And so I met God again. He called me. He came to me through AA. I credit AA for helping me to introduce God to me again in my 50s. He always comes back. He said, "Welcome home, Felissa. I've been waiting for you." And so here I have yet another chance, another time to commune with my higher power, different names, same oneness. Commune with my higher power through the principles taught by AA and the love and the caring and the joy that I received through some of those people. It's very similar to what I learned throughout my life, that God kept bringing that to me through oneness, through the principles of what He taught me through so many people in so many ways. The power, the presence, and the principle, and that God is at cause. So here I sit, 59 years old, still learning, still bumbling in some ways, still achieving in some ways, seeing a lot of God through my cats. I know that to some people who aren't cat people, that may sound funny, but God's there too. Unconditional love. Seeing God. My husband brought me flowers the other day, and he gave me this big hug, and I just started not crying, but bawling. It's like, thank you so much, Tom. He's like, what? Well, why are you crying? I was like, I just so appreciate you. And my heart was full of gratitude in ways that I never felt before. Forgive me if I'm going too long. I just want to impart that I know that love is here and it's available to all of us at all times, no matter what comes, that everything is always working out for me. That's a mantra I repeat to myself. Everything is always working out for me. And I'm grateful that no matter what comes, no matter what hurts I experience, what relief I'm trying to seek through good or bad methods, I'm always brought back. I'm always welcomed home. There's a oneness. And I'm full of gratitude for that. And I'm grateful to this group in particular for helping me to see that it's always available to me. I love you, Connie. I love all of you. And as we say in AA, thank you for letting me share.